Texten tacksamhet som följer med tarotkort 29.
Tacksamhet. När ditt hjärta är fullt av tacksamhet kan varje dörr som ter sig stängd vara en öppning för en ännu större välsignelse. Mycket få människor har nått det yttersta sen. Kvinnan Rengetsu är en av dessa sällsynta människor. Hon var på pilgrimsresa och kom till en by i solnedgången där hon bad om husrum för natten. Men byborna smällde igen dörrarna. De måste ha varit traditionella buddhister i byn och de tillät inte denna senkvinna att bo där. De körde ut henne ur byn. Det var en kall natt och den gamla kvinnan hade inget husrum och hon var hungrig. Hon måste söka skydd under ett körsbärsträd ute på fälten. Det var verkligen kallt och hon sov dåligt. Och det var farligt också. Vilda djur. Vid midnatt vaknade hon. Hon frös förskräckligt och såg i vårnattshimlen hur de fullt utslagna körsbärsblommorna skrattade mot den dimmiga månen. Överväldigad av skönheten steg hon upp och gjorde en hälsning mot byn. Genom deras vänlighet i att vägra mig husrum befann jag mig under blommorna i den dimmiga månens natt. Med stor tacksamhet tackar hon människorna som förvägrade henne logi. Annars skulle hon ha sovit under ett vanligt tak. Hon skulle ha missat denna välsignelse, dessa körsbärsblommor och detta viskande mot den dimmiga månen och nattens tystnad. Nattens ytterliga tystnad. Hon är inte förargad. Hon accepterade. Inte bara accepterade. Hon välkomnade det. Hon känner sig tacksam. Livet är väldigt. Och i varje stund kommer det med 1001 gåvor till dig. Men du är så sysselsatt, så upptagen i ditt lystna huvud. Du är så full av tankar. Du avvisar alla dessa gåvor. Gud kommer. Du bara avvisar. En människa blir Buddha i den stund hon accepterar allt som livet ger med tacksamhet.
It happens about a very famous Zen woman. Her name was Rengetsu. Very few women have attained to the Zen ultimate. This one is one of those rare women. She was on a pilgrimage and she came to a village at sunset and begged for lodging for the night, but the villagers slammed their doors. They were against Zen. Zen is so revolutionary, so utterly rebellious, that it is very difficult to accept it. By accepting it, you are going to be transformed. By accepting it, you will be passing through a fire. You will never be the same again. So traditional people have always been against all that is true in religion. Tradition is all that is untrue in religion. So those must have been traditional Buddhists in the town. And they didn't allow this woman to stay in the town. They threw her out. It was a cold night. And the old woman, with no lodging and hungry, she had to make a cherry tree in the fields her shelter. It was really cold. And she could not sleep well. And it was dangerous too. Wild animals and all. At midnight she awoke because of too much cold and saw, as it were, in the spring night sky, the fully opened cherry blossoms laughing to the misty moon. Overcome with the beauty, she got up and made a reverence in the direction of the village. This is what Tathata is. Overcome with the beauty, she got up and made a reverence in the direction of the village. Through their kindness in refusing me lodging, I found myself beneath the blossoms on the night of this misty moon. She feels grateful. With great gratitude, she thanks those people who refused lodging. Otherwise, she will be sleeping under an ordinary roof. And she would have missed this blessing. This cherry blooming. And this whispering with the misty moon, and this silence of the night, this utter silence of the night. She is not angry. She accepts it. Not only accepts it, welcomes it. She feels grateful. Life is immense. And each moment it comes with 1001 gifts for you. But you are so much engaged, preoccupied with your desiring mind. You are so full of your thoughts, you refuse all those gifts. God comes, you go on refusing. To enter in means to understand the ways of desire. When you have understood that the desire creates turmoil, you stop desiring. When the desire is not there, thinking disappears. This is Zen.
Upplysning är människans seger över hennes självförvållade omyndighet. Omyndighet är avsaknaden av förmåga att använda sitt eget förstånd utan någon annans ledning. Självförvållad är denna omyndighet när orsaken inte är brist på förstånd men brist på mod att använda förståndet. Till upplysning krävs inte ett annat än frihet. Den frihet som innebär att i varje avseende gör offentligt bruk av sitt förnuft. Ty det är varje människas kall att tänka själv. Immanuel Kant, 1783.
Och nu ett meddelande från Fria Akademin.
Denna CD är en budkavel, en vandringsskiva. Du lyssnar 7 gånger. Memorera texten och ge sedan skivan vidare till en vän. Kopiera gärna skivan på CD eller kassett. Behåll ett ex och ge övriga budkavlar vidare till vänner.
Låt skivan vandra. Budkavel kommer, budkavel går.
Do you see yourself as an activist?
Yeah, I do. I see myself as part of a movement, but I also believe that as an activist, I think that there are many ways of being an activist and being part of a movement. And I think we've lost sight of that, or certainly in North America, we've lost sight of that. You know, the definition of activist is very narrow. You know, it's people who you know speak through megaphones and have placards, and that's activism. And I think that if we continue to believe that that's activism, nothing is going to change. And so part of this process has been, yes, realize I am part of this movement, but that doesn't mean that I have to be something I'm not, because I've never been comfortable in that role. That's not who I am. I am a writer and a researcher, and that is activism. That's what the world has proven to me, because Logo, even if I didn't write it as an activist book, it became one, and I became a part of a movement, and I consider that an honor, actually.
Systems, you know, that we want ideologies, and we want, you know.
You know, we say we want systems, you know, that we want ideologies, and we want, you know, gurus and leaders to follow. But my experience is that we just want a little bit of hope, and it actually takes very little, maybe just a story, you know. Well, these people here in this one place, you know, Bechtel came in to privatize their water in Cochabamba, Bolivia. They got organized, and they kicked them out, and they won. And now their water isn't privatized. Really? Well, that story spread around Latin America, and now you can't get a single privatized utility passed anywhere, right? So the power of stories, of storytelling, I think is a kind of, I guess you could call it leadership. I think it's another kind of leadership, I guess. And I see myself as part of a kind of global cabal conspiracy of storytellers.